Love Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, we know that our God reigns with power and majesty, dominion and authority. He reigns. We are just glad to be on the broadcast today. We thank God for everyone that will be calling in, everyone that will listen in, everyone that will hear it in the archives. We're so thankful just to be a part of this ministry and just to teach the word of God. We pray that the word will fall on good ground and that, of course, that it will set out to do all that God has purposed it to do. So we thank God for it. We hope that this word will help you to build a foundation for godly living so that you can continue on and be the man and woman of God or the child of God that he has purposed you to be. So we thank God for each and every one that is on the line, those that will be calling in later. And so we're going to continue our foundational series. We've been on a foundation of series, and we started out talking about God's love for us, and then we talked about salvation for several weeks, and we feel like we exhausted that topic. And then we went from there to forgiveness and unforgiveness. And, of course, the Lord really blessed during that series. We had some awesome testimonies and just some very, 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 very deep conversation about that topic and how the Lord just blessed. And I think we were all blessed by listening to that and just was able to even work through some situations ourselves that we were dealing with. So such a great topic. And then we talked about justification. And so now we are continuing on with sanctification. We talked about sanctification 2 weeks ago. We started that series on sanctification. Then we took a break last week because we had some other things that were going on in the ministry. And so we had to wasn't on the air last week. But we are back this week to talk about sanctification and to continue on that journey with that. There's a lot of questions I saw out there for about sanctification, but I thank the Lord for each and every one that is on the line. I thank the Lord. I see Elder Russell on the line, and I see Brother Lance Hall. I think this is his mom is on the line, and Sister Hall, and I thank God for the others that are on the line. I haven't been able to type your number in to see who you are yet, but anyway, if I could just ask Elder Russell if she would lead us out in prayer, I would greatly appreciate it. Lord, hold on.
What you're going to do on the broadcast today, oh God. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can now. It was my fault. I hadn't put everybody on. I'm so sorry. Go ahead, Elder Russell.
And we ask you, oh God, today as we come together to eat on your word, Father, that you give us an understanding, not for myself, from above, Father, that you would ignite the Holy Spirit, God, that we can understand what you want us to understand about sanctification, oh God. Only you, Father, can give us the real meaning and understanding, Lord, and we ask you that today, oh God. We ask you to bless all that's on the program today. We ask that you be with us and bless us today in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. We thank the Lord for that. And so we're just going to jump right into it and continue on to sanctification. I didn't know, Elder Russell, if you wanted to start out, is Elder Timberlake on the line as well? Or if you want me to start, how you would.
She's coming. She'll be on the line, so I can
okay.
start. She'll jump in.
Okay. Okay. Well, then I'll let you start, and then we'll jump in as we go.
Okay. Okay. Well, I just thank the Lord today for being able to just study on sanctification and what it's all about. And I thank the Lord for the privilege of this, because it has been a blessing to me to really understand it. You know how you can go for years and you don't go back to something. You just, you know, you don't realize the meat of that word that's in there for you to just really put into your heart and start following through with that. So, again, I thank the Lord for that. I just want to say on Thanksgiving, I had a great Thanksgiving with the family. And we normally go around the table and everybody tells what God has done for them. And my thought was, let me tell them what justification and sanctification is. I want them to understand it, because I saw the value of it. So I thank the Lord that I was able to go over that with them and then go over sanctification with them, and they kind of looked and kind of nodded their heads and kind of, so I kind of feel like they understood that. So I think that was a very important gift of Thanksgiving to give them, to understand what it's all about. But today, we talked about sanctification last week. We kind of skimmed over it a little bit because it's so valuable. You want to make sure that everybody understands what it is and how to apply it to your life, and we want to not leave anything out. So I'm just going to just highlight a few things as we just go. If you have a question, I'll slow down for you to answer that question. Ella Timberlake will be coming on the air in just a little bit. And, you know, our sanctification is the will of God, transferring into us the likeness of his son, Jesus. It is the will of God. We must be regenerated or changed by the Holy Spirit, constructed by the Holy Spirit. We must place our trust in Christ to save us. We cannot save ourselves. We got to have faith in our Savior. If we have faith in ourselves, we fall miserably. So we got to put our trust in God, and he'll be with us all the way. We're not superhuman, but the power of the Holy Spirit, and we were justified and have been made holy through the sacrifices of the body of Jesus Christ. So we participate in the process of sanctification. It won't happen overnight, but it will with God's help. In your obedience toward his word. Amen. We want to define more about sanctification. And unless we are sanctified, we will not enter, receive eternal life. And that is all of our goals, to enter into eternal life. Unless we are sanctified, we will not enter the kingdom of God. Therefore, understanding the meaning is so valuable and so essential for us to understand. Sanctification, the object of God's plan, it is for us to become holy as he is holy. Holy as he is holy. You might say, well, that seems pretty hard. But, you know, as we read God's word and as we fellowship with God and fellowship with the saints and allow that word to permeate into our hearts and our minds, it's not so hard, because we're decreasing our outer man. We are decreasing the human part of us. And that's in 1 Peter 1:16, Leviticus 11:44-45. The process by which we become holy in each phase of the plan of God is called sanctification. Sanctification. And that's John 17. And 17 through 19. To sanctify, and that's the Greek word for it, means to halo. That is to remove something from us, from the realm of the secular, transfer it into the realm of the divine. It is God's way of transferring us into people who are fit to live with him son forever, and that's my plan. In each part of his plan, God cleanses us. He cleanses us. He clears our name. That's salvation. He clears our name so that we are no longer under heavenly indictment. He gives us a new body so that we shall be liberated from the sin nature that dwells in our present body. That's Romans 7:17. God gives us the opportunity and responsibility of transferring ourselves by his power and grace, not ours, into people who reflect his glory and mercy. Sanctification. On last week I was speaking about how we set things apart, and I think I gave an example about my mom setting her canned goods, things she had put aside for the following year, so make sure there was plenty to eat. Set that aside so no one would touch it. Just leave it there until it was time for that to be used. And God does the same for us. He wants us to be set aside for his purpose and for his service. But the word sanctification comes from the Greek meaning to be separate or to be set apart for a purpose. We Christians are to be progressively sanctified or made righteous in holiness as we daily abide in Christ. It's a daily thing. And obey his word. And that is, number one, to obey his word, get into his word, read the meat of his word. And the more you read that word, the more understanding you get, and the more new things that he'll give you as you read. And when we go to heaven, there will be total and complete sanctification, which is called glorification. Glorification. When we are born again, that's in our sanctification, our inward and outward holiness begins. And therefore, we are gradually to grow up in him who is our head. The new birth is not the same as with sanctification, but it is by slow degrees that he afterwards grows up to the measure of the full stature of Christ. Anyone have any questions on that? Well, amen.
Amen.
Who sanctifies? Who does the separating, the setting apart, the consecrating? Of course, God does. Notice what he told ancient Israel. We talked a little bit about that last time, about, you know, where it came from, where it originated from. Really, it originated with Adam and Eve. He sanctified to me, them to him, the perfect man. And I believe even now he's trying to get that garden back, that perfect set of people back. He gave the whole world an opportunity to be in that garden. Who does the separating, the setting apart, the consecrating? God does. Notice what he told ancient Israel. You shall not profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. And that's in Leviticus 22:32. You know, just as God sanctifies the physical nation of Israel, Jesus Christ sanctifies and consecrates his people today. And that is us, you know. Just as God sanctified Israel, Jesus is here to sanctify us. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. That's Hebrews 2:11. Also, I just want you to notice something that Apostle Paul wrote in Thessalonians. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren. Beloved the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. God chose his people for salvation through sanctification, setting them apart from the world by his Spirit and truth. And this shows us the relationship between salvation and sanctification. So sanctification was way back there from the very beginning. It is nothing new. It's just our walk. When we become sanctified, we are justified from the blood of the cross, from the cross as Jesus died. He sanctified all of us. Everybody was sanctified. Those that were saved and unsaved, he died for everyone. But we accept Christ as our Savior, and we become sanctified. That's a new walk. But it's a process. Everything is not done immediately. You know, you're being transformed into that person of Christ. You've been set aside as being holy. And the walk is not an easy walk, because we're going to be housed in our human side until we leave here and go into eternity. It's just a fight. But I believe the fight is so worthy for what God has in store for his children. You know, I often say, well, when I make it there, and I will be so happy. I will just say, God, I thank you for what I had to go through, the pain that I had to suffer, the times that I had to cry, and those things I didn't understand, but I trusted you. I'm so glad I stayed on the course of sanctification so I could enter into eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Do you want to have a question? Okay, well, we're just going back. I thought I heard someone say that was saying something. You know, Israel was sanctified. Of course, we've got to look back and we got to gleam over what happened back then and helps us today, that we're just a foreshadow of what happened with the children of Israel, God. Why did God sanctify the nation of Israel? And this is found in Exodus 19:6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. He chose a people to be separated from the surrounding nations, to be his special people, a holy nation, a nation of priests, a model nation, his inheritance, his children, you know. He sanctified everybody, the children, the priests, the altars, everything was sanctified. The choosing of Israel to be God's holy nation began long before with Adam. Notice what God first told Adam in Genesis 12:1-2. He said what? Get out of your country. Just as he's telling us, pull yourself from the world. Let go of all these worldly things that hang on us, you know, and begin to seek and search his word and see what he has in store for us, so that we can understand more of what God is calling us to do, so we can know our destiny. I think our destiny does tie into sanctification, because the more we let go of the outer man, the more the inner man increases, and we'll be able to hear him more, to see in the spirit, you know, be more in tune with what God is directing us to do. And the time that we live in now, it is so important that we know the will of God, because there's so much happening. Everything goes, whatever you want to do is your thing. Do what you want to do. That's what they're doing. So we really need to hold on to his hand. So get out of your country, you know. Get out of your comfort zone today, you know. Evaluate yourself. See where you need to make a change. Set your weaknesses that you have. We all have some weaknesses, and ask God to help you, to cleanse you up, so you can be that person he's called you to be, so you can get on with that destiny that God has called you to be. He said, get out of your country to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. Later on, when God changed Adam's name to Abraham, he promised him the following: I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, and your descendants after you, the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. When God tells you something, we can count on it. When his word speaks it, it is truth and it is life. You know, God honored his promise to Abraham and brought his descendants into the promised land. Just before they entered the land, Moses called the people together that you may enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself. And when I looked at that as a people for himself, I think about that when he created Adam and Eve in a perfect garden and how he fellowshiped with them, you know, and much things I didn't read, but you kind of thought that in, late in the evening when he had time, he would come and commune with them, you know, and how hurt he was when the enemy deceived Eve to eat the fruit. And to me, you know, it seemed like he's still trying to get that perfect garden, those perfect people back, you know, that beginning. He's so long-suffering, and he's so patient with us. And he may establish you today as a people for himself, and that he may be God to you, just as he has spoken to you, and just as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's Deuteronomy 29:12-13. Anyone have any questions so far?
Elder Russell, I just want to add, you were talking about the Old Testament. This is Elder Timberlake.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. I just want to read Romans 8 chapter.
Yes.
Because that was on the, in the Old Testament, that was under the Old Covenant, and we're under the New Covenant.
Right.
And he said, starting at the third verse, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Under the new covenant, since the covenant is within our hearts, then we have got to hide the word of God in our hearts in order to maintain this sanctification. Once we accept God in our lives, in order to do this process of sanctification, we've got to know the word of God. We've got to have a relationship with the word. It is that word that helps us to be able to help us to be relatable to God so he can help us to work out our own salvation on a daily basis. So when we talk about sanctification, being set aside for God's purpose, the only way we're going to know God's purpose is we know his word, because his word, in his word, we find his direction. Through his word, we find what we need. So the word says for us to study, to show ourselves approved, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we've got to be able to study the word and not just study with the intellect. We got to study it until he reveals to us what he is saying. Many times we try to justify things because we use our intellect to determine based on things that we know in our environment. But we've got to ask God, what are you really saying to us, Lord, as we on this walk of sanctification? As you have set me apart for such a time as this, what am I to do? What is my purpose? Where am I going? What is it that you would have me to do? Because I want to be found in the will of God. That's the attitude we need to have today with the new covenant, that we are in total communication with God at all times. We can't take any slack. There's no time for lack and no time for slack. It is, in fact, that in this day and time, as we see the Bible being fulfilled, it's like we need to be ongoing, rushing, and quickly making sure that our lives are in tune with God, because we're supposed to be walking after those things that are of the Spirit and not after those things that are the flesh. So we need to check ourselves, examine ourselves on a consistent basis to make sure that we are lined up with the word. And if we're not spending time with the word, we need to start so, because you can't maintain this sanctification without having a relationship and knowledge of God's word. Yeah.
That is
enough. Thanks for now. Anybody got something to say off of that?
Well, I just think that's awesome. I think that we have, because we do have to understand that there are so many scriptures in the Bible that tells us so many things they speak about being sanctified. And so you were right. We have to even sanctify our attitude. We have to get our right attitude, and we can't do that unless we are in the Word of God.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it talks about a bunch of things being sanctified, the tabernacle furniture. It talks about the mountain, food, people, you know, just several things. But the one thing as believers that we have to get right is our attitude.
Yes, because it's all about Him.
Yes.
In order to crucify flesh, we've got to maintain a relationship with God, and we do about it through His Word. By faith, we believe we are sanctified, and we have to study His Word. The more we know God's Word, the more we're able to withstand the wiles of the devil. The more our wisdom begins to be enhanced, where our discernment is enhanced. The more we know God's Word, the more He can speak to us and give us revelatory information that can help us to fulfill His purpose that He's put us here for. Because what I love about Jesus when He prayed for us over in John, the 17th chapter, starting at the 7th verse, He says, "Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given Me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me. If they have received them, I have known surely that I came out from them. But they have believed that Thou didst send Me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. And all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee. Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest Me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." He even prayed during this prayer for God to sanctify us, even as He was sanctified. And He was following the will of the Father, as we're supposed to follow the will of the Father. We're supposed to do the same. So Christ has already prayed for us. That He would sanctify us. And He used the Word of God. And so we've got to use that same Word and use it with power. And so our lives can be powerful. Because, you know, you can know the letter alone, there is no power. But when you have the anointing of because your life has been presented to God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him, which is just our reasonable service. When we pronounce that word and it come out of a sanctified life, there is power, there is sharper than a two-edged sword. It just destroys yokes. It sets people free. And if we got issues with anger, it helps us to overcome that. It helps us to get that attitude straight. All that because we have spent some time with God and we have examined ourselves and we are constantly on a daily basis sanctifying ourselves with the help of God. And He helps us through the Word. Through the Word, by faith, through the Word.
Yeah. Because we're constantly putting off the old man is what we have to. We have to continually to put off the old man, taking off the old man in its nature, removing the principle of lust and destroying the power and control of our flesh. So that's what we're doing on a daily basis. God did the ultimate thing when He sanctified us. He sanctified us by his actions. But we continue to walk in it by continuing to lay aside those sins which so easily beset us as well, and also actually also crucifying our flesh daily. Paul said, "What I die daily." That means he was crucifying that flesh daily. He was laying aside things daily that, you know, as they came along. So what do you think? I mean, what is your explanation for that?
Because our flesh wants to come alive at all times. And that's why until we be with Jesus, we always going to have intimacy with our flesh. And the only way to keep the flesh under control we've got to be led by the Spirit. And the only way to be led by the Spirit is that we maintain a spiritual relationship with God by studying the Word and learning the Word of God and spend quality time with in the presence of the Lord. The only way we can do that, because in our own strength, we cannot do it. Even Jesus prayed to God. He took time out to spend some time to talk to his Father. We've got to do the same thing and make time for God to let him know he is the center of our lives, that we need him in our daily operations of whatever we do in our daily tasks. We need him because we still, even our daily life, should be led by the Spirit. We don't have to be so spiritual that we know earthly good. But when it comes to making decisions, when it comes to who to network with, all those kind of things, we need to be led by the Spirit. So we won't make decisions that will get us entangled and get us off track. So in order for us to stay focused and making sure that our pathway is lined up with what God has designed for us, we've got to make sure that we're spending quality time with in his Word and quality time with the Father to make sure that our relationship is lined up and that we can keep flesh under control. Otherwise, we'll be like Eve in the garden, sneaking off, doing stuff, getting out of position, and listening to the wrong stuff and making wrong choices because we've been deceived. So in order to keep from being deceived, we got to stay in tune and lined up with the Word of God. And we can't wait on a preacher to teach us the Word. We got to get in the Word ourselves and ask the same God to give revelatory word to our pastors and to our leaders. He can do the same thing for us if we spend the time seeking him and studying his Word.
Amen. Because really when the pastor gets up to preach, it's sometimes, I mean, it's a revelation, because if you've been in the Word, if you've been in the Word yourself and you've been studying and you're doing it, a lot of times when they get up on Sunday morning, it's a confirmation unto you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, the Bible says study to show yourself approved, so we really do need to study.
Mm-hmm.
And
when Jesus prayed for us in John 17:17, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the only way we can maintain our sanctification is through the Word of God. We've got to spend some time with the Word, and as we spend that time, we build relationship with God through his Word. We begin to know God's character. We begin to know him. We begin to hear him. We begin to know his voice because we know his Word. So that we won't be all so easily misled because his sheep knows his voice.
Yeah. Well, like even, what is it? It's in the 118 Psalms, and I can get the verse, but it says, thine word have I hid in my heart that I might not see. So the thing about it is we have to have the Word in our heart so that we can be able to, when temptation does come, you know, he's already made a way of escape for us, but we can find a way of escape because we already have the Word hid in our heart. And that's what helps us to be in that sanctified place.
Yes. Yes.
And John 17:17 says, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth.
Yes.
Thy word is truth. You know, when Paul said that, when I go to do good, evil is present. So it's going to always be present. But I think as we study the Word, it's give us the strength to say no to the enemy when he brings these things to our mind. Rather than have our human nature rise up, the Holy Spirit to give us the correct directions.
Yes.
Right. It says, the process of God's grace by which the believer is separated from sin and becomes dedicated to God's righteousness is accomplished by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. The only way, there's no other way around it. We can't skip over it and try to come with a shortcut. In order for us to fulfill God's purpose for our lives and to make sure that we are lined up with what God has destined us to do and to be, we've got to know his Word and be led by the Spirit. And it is a daily, ongoing, every minute activity, because the enemy is forever trying to get us to get in our flesh, and operate in the flesh, and make fleshly decisions. So we have to work on so we won't become corner believers, corner Christians, or whatever we call ourselves, so we can be progressively sanctifying ourselves through the Word of God.
Yeah.
By the Word.
Amen. And Luke 21:34 says, be on guard, that's every day, that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the words of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. So we have to always be aware.
Good, yeah.
On a daily basis.
Daily basis. Read that again, Elder Russell.
Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the words of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. That's Luke 21:34.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. But you know, in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, remember when they were doing the sanctification process, it was mainly purifying the flesh.
Yes.
Purifying the flesh. But under the New Covenant, our hearts, our spiritual hearts has to be purified. And that's where the sanctification comes in, and that's what separates us. Because Jesus has already shed blood. We don't have to shed any more blood. He's already justified us and declared us righteous. Now all we have to do is accept him as Lord and Savior and begin to walk in the path that is destined of a spirit-filled life. That's what we have to do.
Yeah.
And we keep going back to the flesh side because that's where sin abides.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, he asked, shall we continue in sin? No, God forbid. Just because we are human, that doesn't give us justification that we can just sin all the time. We might fall, yes, we might, but that should not be our practice on sinning. Because if we practice sinning, we've lost our sanctification.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to study the word so we can know when we're getting off track, so we can quickly restore ourselves back to God.
Yes. That's why Joshua in the 6th chapter said, what does it say? Or in the 1st chapter, I think it's the 6th and the 9th verse. Well, anyway, when he talks about meditating on the word both day and night, that thou may observe to do all that is written therein, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so those are things that we have to understand, that we have to stay in the Word. We have to. It's essential. It's essential that you have. It's a necessity. The Word of God is a necessity in the life of the believer. You just can't wait to get it on Sunday morning. You just can't wait to get it on Bible class. It needs to be something that you incorporate in your daily life. One thing I'm a firm believer in this, that if you start your day, now this is my own personal situation, but I believe this out of my heart. If you start your day with Christ, if you start your day meditating in the Word and praying and getting up and praying, giving some time to the Lord, I believe the rest of the day goes good. It no matter what comes up, you're able to handle it because you have already got a download from heaven.
All right now. I like that. The process of sanctification, he gave some commandment. The first thing he said, be ye holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So if he's holy, we need to practice on being holy.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't know what holiness means or being holy means, then we need to study to find it in the Word so we can get a good understanding of what the Word is to help us to walk this walk that we are, once we've given our life to Christ.
Yeah, if
we're in a Bible believing preaching church, we need to get in one so we can grow. So we can grow and understand the walk that we have now started. It is a living sacrifice.
Yes.
He's kept us here for a purpose and a destiny. We're living, not just so we can dress good and get good jobs and make a whole lot of money. All that's good and it has its place. But our real purpose is to be living sacrifice for the Lord. Us to be living witnesses to go out and do what Jesus did, make disciples, go out and win other folks to duplicate what Jesus does, win other folks to Christ.
Because if we think about the Old Testament, we look in Exodus and Leviticus where the law was given and where all of he began to tell us how to do operate in different things. And I know that was Old Testament. But still, it's a type and shadow of what holiness looks like.
Yes. So he hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. He might have a different method, but it's still the same.
His requirements are still the same.
They're still there. So we have to walk in the Spirit. We have to walk in the Spirit. And we can only exemplify the fruit of the Spirit if we're walking in the Spirit. We wonder why we're not walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Then we have to check our prayer life. Check how often we study the Word. Check how often we are meditating on the Word. And then we need to do something about it. There's nothing wrong, you know, it's better to admit that I'm falling short and do something about it than to be deceived and going on and trying to pretend everything is okay.
Yeah.
Well, can y'all hear me?
Yes.
I mean, y'all moving at top speed. Praise the Lord. But I just wanted to interject a little bit of a different perspective, which everything that you all have said is still tied into what I'm looking at. But for those, anybody out there listening, I think it's important that we understand when we talk about sanctification. And we look at it beginning in the Old Testament, because that's where we start, about how God sanctified and set apart the children of Israel, because even the term that we use when we call ourselves saints is taken from the word sanctified or sanctify. Saint, which means holy ones who consecrate themselves for God. For anybody who don't understand, one of the things I think is important for those to understand is not to be deceived or tricked into thinking because I pursue sanctification to set myself apart for God's use that I'm missing something the world or the enemy has to offer. It's not like the scripture comes out of when Israel said, give us a king so we can be like other nations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not missing anything, but you should look at it as a privilege, I guess you would say, an honor, a privilege to be selected to be set apart for God's use. And then the Old Testament talks about the Nazarite vow, that where they set apart with certain things that they refrain from because they wanted to be dedicated solely to the service of the Lord. So don't get tricked by the enemy. If you're not a Bible scholar, get tricked by not pursuing, understanding, or knowing, or sanctification, thinking you're going to miss something that the world has to offer. Because
mm-hmm.
you're not.
That's true.
It's like I tell people, you know, with the sanctification, there came rule. There was rule, what God called his law, and there were certain things that had to be done a certain way, and that was to aid in the sanctification process. But it wasn't to necessarily restrict in a negative way, but it should be looked at as protection, and it equates to love. Because I'm giving you these things, these laws, these ways of living to protect you because I love you. What is that?
Yeah.
So anybody want to expand on that a little bit? Let's see.
Yeah, this is Henry. I don't know how far we are into the study, or we got another week or so. But that's something else that I wanted to add with sanctification. I don't know whether we're going to cover it. So if we're going to cover that later, then let me know. Another thing about sanctification is that although we are set apart to be used by God and we set aside from the world system into God's system, but sanctification doesn't mean that we live in the bubble.
Right.
Because if that's the case, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Okay, you are the salt of the earth. But a salt that loses its flavor, how can it be made salt again? So, you know, that's one thing about sanctification. You want to maintain that. But anyway, coming further down, he said, again, you are the light of the world. Yes. Mm-hmm. A city located on a hill cannot be hid. Okay. People do not light a lamp and put it under a basket, but a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. So the thing about sanctification, too, is as we are holy and we live holy, it's not a location. It's very spiritual. It's within you. It's not necessarily in the confines of the church building. You are sanctified. You are sanctified. And we are bent that way to also change the world. But, you know, he said, come from the world, he doesn't mean don't interact.
Right.
You know, one man said, well, if we sanctify, then we shouldn't be doing this or doing that or reach. We got to reach people. We don't act like them. We don't behave like them. But we got to reach them. There was something that God said when he approached Moses in chapter 3 of Exodus. When he called Moses, and Moses turned to see, and he came toward the bush burning, what is this thing? And the Lord said, take off your shoes, for the place you stand in is holy. That is sanctified. Now, what made it holy? Because God's presence was there.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that place was holy. God's presence at the time made that place holy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we are sanctified, but it doesn't mean that we cannot reach. God, who is God's presence, came into that place. So if, let's say, demons were dancing in that place, when God's presence got there, that place became holy.
Yeah.
It was sanctified because God's presence was there. Any other thing was removed. So we gotta watch. We gotta know that, and I think a lot of us know that. So we gotta reach people. We cannot be afraid of people, because our presence is going to sanctify that place. So we can reach them. We can talk to them. We don't have to be afraid of people, because they are sinners, because they are vile. Jesus went places and touched all kinds of sinners.
Yeah.
Because if we don't do that, how else we are going to be light of the world?
Exactly. If we don't go out,
I just want to share Leviticus 11 and 44. I think it ties in what Minister Creighton was just saying, and what everything that we've been talking about. When we talk about sanctification, Leviticus 11, with the 44th verse, it says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast and the fowl, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten." Then in the commentary, it kind of says a little better. It says, there is more to this chapter than eating right. The verses provide a key to understanding all the laws and regulations in Leviticus. God wanted his people to be holy, which is set apart, different, to be unique, just as he is holy. He knew they had only two options: to be separate and holy, or to compromise with their heathen neighbors and become corrupt. That is why he called them out of idolatry of Egypt and set them apart as a unique nation, dedicated to worshiping him alone and leading moral lives. That is also why he designed laws and restrictions to help them remain separate. Both socially and spiritually, from the wicked heathen nations they would encounter in Canaan. Christians are also called to be holy today, like in 1 Peter 1:15. It says, like the Israelites, we are to remain spiritually separate from the world's wickedness, even though, unlike them, we rub shoulders with unbelievers every day. It is no easy task to be holy in an unholy world, but God doesn't ask you to accomplish this on your own.
Right.
Help. Through the death of his son,
right,
he will present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
That's good.
Can I add something to that real quick, what Brother Poston was saying about who we are? That's why we cannot be ashamed about who we are. We got to be bold, because who we are is the best place to be. We cannot be ashamed. We should reach people, and we shouldn't be ashamed about who we are. And we don't want to be like the world that we came out of, because it doesn't have a whole lot to offer us.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is that if sanctification, if we talk about and we equate that to a city on the hilltop, or equate that to light, when we carry ourselves in a sanctified way, let people talk. But I guarantee you, people will see that, and that will always win people over. Acting like the world doesn't win anybody over. It doesn't win anybody over. That's why Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before people, so they can see your good deeds and give honor to your Father in heaven. If you acting like the world, that can't happen.
Exactly.
And there's no way that's going to happen.
You know what's interesting about that, Henry, is not only does God expect us to be different, but even the heathen expects us to be different, because they are able to see how we respond to what we're facing.
Yes.
They're looking at how we respond.
Yeah, they're looking for different responses.
They watch your reactions. They watch what you say, because I've heard many times they say this to me. I thought you were a Christian. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll throw that thing at you. You know, so you have to be careful. But you know.
But y'all think about another thing, like your sister was saying. During September 11, when crisis arises in the land, all of this talk about don't talk about God, don't do this. What happens in the church? When September 11 happened, what happened in the church? It was full, not the nightclubs.
Right.
But the churches were full. We should always know that we bring something valuable to the table. Anytime stuff happens, who do they turn to? Who do they look to for hope in the land?
Yeah.
Sister Denise? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Brother Henry. I'm so sorry.
No, I was done.
This is Sister Dotson, Elder Dotson. We're here. And the thing that I would like to say is that you all are talking about that the scriptures say that the whole earth groaneth.
Yes. Yes.
And for the manifestations of the sons of God, they're waiting on us. Like the sister said, you know, they're watching us, and that scripture just proves it. You know, some people may act like they're not, but they're waiting on God. God has placed something special in all of us regarding him. Some people, the sinners, they don't even know what it is, but there's something in them, and they're waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God, and that is us, through sanctification in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
You know, it brings about that it's not always speaking one-on-one. It's not always the way to be a witness, you know. Sometimes you can be a witness by the way you talk to a person, the way you treat other people. and, you know, your kindness and your love that you show. It touches other people. They'll come to you and say, you know, something on an order. And they'll say, well, I know you must be a believer, you know. So in so many ways we have to be aware of not just being a witness by verbally talking, but our actions. Even the way we sometimes look at people, you know. Because if you notice, some people can look with you with such an angry look and you don't even know why. So we have to be careful on all, in all ways. You know, I know that at my job, I was speaking to one of the sisters that for a year I thought I had this week off. But I never saw the word in there not. So when I was planning for the week, my supervisor called me and said, and I asked her about that. She said, well, you don't have that week off. You don't have that week. I said, well, hold on. I believe I do. I look at the paper. And she said, well, why don't I give you that week off? She said, someone else has that week off for 2 weeks. And just, you know, but she said it in such a harsh tone, right, that it kind of disturbed me. And I said, how could I not see that N-O-T, all this stuff on my paper, right? So I was going to send her email back, but a little warm email back. And I thought, about it, I said, Lord, should I send this email back? I'm trying to work with the sanctification, so I said, no, initially I want to go back there and talk to him, you know. It's a way to talk to people, act, you know. But then I thought about the letter and even my action of going back there. What would it prove? Not a thing, you know. And so we have to be aware that the enemy brings things that may not even be there, because the next day when I saw a supervisor, I was saying, well, I turned around. I said, well, I sure appreciate talking to you about that time off, because if I had went out of town, I would have been on AWOL. I said, I tried to call you back and tell you. You didn't answer the phone. But she said, well, I was just so busy. I didn't mean nothing by that. I was just so busy. You know, I would have answered your call. So sometimes we can preconceive things that's not there. We can be tricked and stuff. So we really have to be conscious of and aware of what we're doing.
And we have to be careful that we don't take everything too serious. Because sometimes the enemy is trying to distract us by trying to make us think things are one way when it's really not that way.
Right.
So that's something we have to be careful of. One thing I wanted to go back to, I think it was Mr. Henry who said something about when Moses, and I think y'all might have said something about this, but anyway, when Moses was with the burning bush, and the one thing that God said was to take off your shoes, for the ground you stand on is holy ground, and it was holy because he was in the presence of God. Well, then my next thing is, when we worship, and we're bringing in, we're ushering in the presence of God, that's a holy moment. And so then I wonder if when we approach worship, should we approach it differently if we think about it from that perspective? Anybody got anything on that?
Well, if we could approach it in that area, I think the way to approach it, you got to be full of the words. You got to spend some time with God. You just can't walk in there and just get into that worship, you know, and you haven't spent any time with the Lord yet. I think before you get to where you're going, if you have spent some time with the Lord in his word, fellowship, praying, and when you walk in there, it's an automatic thing. You just walk into his presence, you know. It's a sacred thing.
And Elder Bryson, with that, it just brings to mind what a very wise woman pointed out to us the other day, that asked the question, are we making God common? Are we devaluing his holiness by, you know, approaching him, you know, without reverence?
Because sometimes we're distracted, even in the worship service. How many times are we really distracted and not really engaged?
Right.
Right.
But when you use Moses, Moses was where he's supposed to be and had an ear to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're in the presence of the Lord, wherever we are, wherever it is, on a mountaintop, in a crowd, a bunch of noise, if we, if in our inner voice, in our inner hearts, if we can connect with God, we can bring, we can have such a relationship, such a worship experience in the midst of any kind of situation. We really can.
Yeah.
It is totally possible. It's about where we are. Because sometimes we just have to whisper a prayer to him. We can't even say a word, that's depending on where you are. And the presence of the Lord can bring such peace, such tranquility to you, to help you think you can take, you know, leap over walls and all kind of stuff. And the things that would have been tragic for you or been hard for you to handle, he just equips you and gives you what you need or the boldness you need, whatever is needed for that particular moment. I believe we can be in a distracted area, but if I focus, because when we get desperate, it could be all kind of things going around us. But when you get desperate, some kind of way we know how to get focused, just like the folks on 9/11 ran to the church house. We know how to be focused. If we just, well, we shouldn't have to wait till something tragic happens. It should be a routine. And once we've got that relationship with it, sometime you just got to say, you can say, them old saints used to grunt. And the Holy Ghost would work. I mean, it's just walking by. Sometimes, because God already knows our thoughts. He already knows what's going on. And I think it just gets us in the presence of the Lord in a way that I think we look for to act a certain way all the time. And we can be in the presence of the Lord. We don't always have to smile and the hands going up, because you can be worshiping the Lord all kind of ways, because we're in this world, in some places where we are, we cannot express it like we normally would when we're in the sanctuary or in our home.
Mm-hmm.
My take on
this. Yeah.
Hey, man.
Go ahead.
I praise the Lord for each and every one of you and all that have been said. And there's one thing that I believe, that God wants us to have a relationship with him just like he had with Adam. Adam was holy.
Yes.
I have a witness.
Yes.
Adam was holy. And and didn't nobody say amen, but Adam was holy. And that's the way the Lord wants us, holy.
Yes.
Why does he want us that way? Because with that comes a relationship.
Yes.
When he walked with Adam in the cool of the day, he was with Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take it on a personal level, it means that he's with you. And this is such a connection and such a relationship that I don't care where you are, you're in relation with him. And whenever he wants to speak with you, he'll just speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether you're distracted or whatever. I believe the heart and the relationship and the connection will bring him in and disrupt everything to say what he wants to say to you because of your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I believe, that holiness brings you into relationship, and it brings you into a place where the Bible speaks that sin was a stink in the nostrils of God. I believe wholeheartedly that sin in whatever form and whatever person will be a stink in our nostrils, that it will not face us or come around us unaware. I believe God wants us in that place so that we will be his watchmen on a wall.
Yeah.
And it will, and the enemy will fear us.
Yeah.
We're not putting any fear in him. You know, and he needs to know who we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with that, he'll make adjustments when he comes in our, you know, around us. Amen?
Amen.
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 But you know what? I'm just want to piggyback off of that. And as I believe that, you know, that God wants that relationship that he had with Adam. I mean, like he misses that. You know, those were his creation. And when they sin, I think that was a deep hurt. However, God is hurt, but it seems like he is trying to bring the whole world back to the garden. He wants
yeah.
to love.
When they got out of focus, when you get out of position
mm-hmm.
and get out of focus from God, that's what happens. You get tricked. You could
mm-hmm.
have heard the word just like Adam and Eve, but still,
right.
you hear another voice because your relationship, you've gotten out of place, you're out of position, and you're listening to a voice that you shouldn't be listening to. And we have to be careful in this walk. Yes, we're in the world, and we're not of the world, but we can't hang with everybody. I mean, sometimes you have to go in certain places, got to go in the enemy camp and take back what he's stolen. You got to go and get the lost. Yes, we do. But we can't hang.
Get out.
You can't hang, because if you linger around to it, the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. We got to flee from fornication. It's a lot of stuff that we can't hang with. If you hanging around a bunch of weak Christians and you trying to be strong, well, after a while you're gonna be hanging with them and you're gonna be weak too.
Mm.
Somebody's got to stand the course and stand up and hold up the bloodstained banner and say, "For God I live and for God I die." Whatever,
yes.
He already has paid the cost. And why would I put him back on the cross? I love him that much. That's why the word, as we love the word, we say we love God. We can't love God without loving his word. You can't have a relationship with God without studying his word. For those of people that are just now getting into the word, you get to, when you first come to see Christ, you're just hungry, you're thirsty. Whichever way you can get fed, you want to. And we need to still have that hunger. Because
yeah.
we're ever evolving. Paul said, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." It's a continuous press. We're still pressing.
Mm-hmm.
We are still pressing. Nobody has arrived because we're still here. We are pressing, and we all are faced with temptation every day. We're faced with something to make us want to give up, make us want to go left, want flesh to come out front. But if we hold on fast to what we believe, the foundation of the word, that we have allowed God to sanctify us, and we have consecrated ourselves, and he has separated us, that we want to represent the God that we say and talk about, so we can be that witness to those people around us, so we can be that light on the city on the hill that cannot be hid, so we can be the beacon to tell the lost sheep that somebody loves them, that God loves them, and they have not been forgotten. But we've got to be that example that starts from within in our hearts, and it starts with the relationship that we have with God, then it goes out and spreads abroad.
All
yeah.
right.
All right. Amen. And what about, I was thinking, wait a minute, I lost my thought, I think, but I was thinking about this, too, when you were talking. This came to my mind about us when we're talking about being nourished. So, you know, we just like he fed them in the, and they kind of touched on this the other day at Thanksgiving Day, sir. It's just like they were being fed with the manna. But the Bible says also, and Jesus says this himself, says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth
yeah.
of God. That is why it's so important for us to even be, because we have to have that spiritual nourishment. And that spiritual nourishment is the word of God.
Yes, and it said TH. And
yeah.
every time you say TH after a verb, it means continuous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I can add another thing to that, what we're saying, just think about it. If anybody on the line has a career, is a nurse,
mm-hmm.
there is no way you can acquire a nursing degree, and after 5 years, the things you learned 5 years ago, it remains the same. Those things remain the same. Things are always changing.
Yeah.
I mean, so if you got a degree, there is no way you got a degree 20 years ago and say, "I'm going to just feed off of that." It's impossible.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
things are always changing. Technology, everything's always changing for the better, so that we can better, so that we can live life better.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way as a Christian you can just become saved, sanctified, and not spend time in the Word and keep growing. And it's just not to spend time in the Word to maintain. It's to spend time in the Word to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not just maintaining, because God is always opening the word up to us.
Right.
And giving us fresh ideas and fresh understanding.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know, our, you know, we're called to be holy and to be like to follow the example of Christ. You know, when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the devil tempted him in all types of ways. All types of ways. But the Holy Spirit just rose up in him and said, when he asked him about bread, no. I don't, what is that?
He said, it is written.
It is written that, yeah.
Man shall not live by bread alone.
Alone,
but
every
word
that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So every time the Satan attacked him, he had a word for it.
Yes.
So as we grow more into holiness, God will give us a say when the enemy comes with an attack.
So if we would really begin to do the same measure that Jesus did when he was in the wilderness to come against the enemy, if we would begin to apply that same usage to our lives, how much further along would we be, and how much higher would the Lord, as the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, says the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against it. So if we would begin to really combat those things that are coming against us with the Word of God, just put the Word of God on it.
Just
and let the
word
of God do what it's supposed to do. The Bible says that the word is a what? A sword.
Sharper.
It's the only thing that we have to stick, cut, and twist with.
And we bypass that and use so much other things, and the power is in the word.
When the word is what we have to do the work, it's the as they say, if I listen to some of you on TV and they talk about trying to figure out what killed the person. And so they want to say if several bullets came from different guns, which one was the kill shot? Well, we got something to do with the kill shot. We got the sword of the spirit.
Right.
It will kill the noise of the enemy.
Yes. It will kill the noise of the enemy.
Yes. And it keeps him from starting fires in our life.
Yeah.
A lot of times he's stirring up stuff, but it's just smoke. It ain't even a fire, but it looks like a fire. So if we would
and we
really
need to know that it's not a fire, because we'll put things on that to make it be a great fire.
Exactly. But if we know that we have the word, we know what we have to use. He gave us all the tools to put on as our armor, but that sword of the spirit is the weapon that we have to combat the enemy.
Yes.
And so that's what we have to do. We have been sanctified. We've been set apart for God's usage. And so we have to know exactly who we are, what we're working with, and then we can begin to go on. If we really begin to think like that, then when these storms come, we won't worry about it. Just like when they was on the boat and the storm was coming, Jesus down there asleep.
I know that's
and the
right.
First thing he said, you know, he said, what, you know, and I'm just paraphrasing. He was really talking about, well, what are y'all worried about? Do y'all know who I am?
Well, they let you know by studying the word and staying in the word, it builds your faith. Because our faith has to be getting free. Yes.
And it said, faith come by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. We have, it's a necessity in our lives as a Christian.
Yes. Like water is for the flesh, so is the word for the spirit.
Yes. Yes, our water.
Yes.
Well, this has been an interesting. We're going to continue on with sanctification next week. We're going to go one more week with it unless the Lord says something different. Of course, our time is winding down. As usual, when it gets good, it seems like it starts clicking. The seconds start moving faster. But nevertheless, this has been a beautiful lesson, and I thank God for each and every one of you that were on the line and participated. Thanks so much for Elder Russell and Elder Timberlake and all the others that chimed in and gave us so much good information and good helpful teaching. But I'd like to thank them especially because they're leading out this sanctification teaching, and I thank God for each and every one of them. Of course, if there's anybody out there who does not know the Lord and the pardon of their sins, we would like to offer Christ to you at this moment because you need him in your life. If you're going to walk this
walk, if you're going to live in this earth, I tell people all the time, it's so much better with Jesus. You can handle life so much better when you have Jesus in it. And so if you are out there, I'm going to say this short prayer, and if you can just say it with me, I'm going to try to go slow so I won't go too fast. But it just says, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of my sins and open my heart to let Jesus come inside of me. Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for my sins and you were raised from the dead. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe if you said that prayer that you have accepted the Lord as your Savior, and, of course, you got to begin to get in the Word of God to be able to know how to live saved and how to get closer to Christ and how to get in. And so we have given you some good tools today about getting in the Word of God and using that to build your most holy faith, because that's your foundation. And when you have it as a solid foundation, you have something to build on. And so we thank the Lord for each and every one of you that have listened to this broadcast today, those that will be listening in later during the archive. And I pray that you were blessed by it. And I just thank the Lord for each and every one today. I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one of your lives. That the Lord, when the enemy come in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against it. And I believe that God, pray that the Lord will do exceeding abundantly and above all that you can ask or think, and that you are covered by the blood, and that the angels in heaven are encamped around about you, protecting you, and that you will have a blessed week, and that you will be protected in your week. He'll give you much wisdom, wisdom that you need for each day and for each situation in your life, and that you will be able to make good decisions, and that you will be joyful during this holiday season and throughout the rest of your life, but you will carry the joy of the Lord, will be your strength. We rebuke the spirit of depression. We rebuke the spirit of oppression and suppression, and we life to the people of God. We speak prosperity to the people of God. And I'm going to ask at this time that Elder Poston, if you would pray us out, and I thank God for you and being on the line, if y'all would give us our ending prayer, and then we will be done for the day. Thank you so much for joining in to this broadcast. This has been The Prospering Soul.
Really?
Elder Poston? I'm not sure if something happened, but I'll pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord, today that you have been our awesome God. Hallelujah. We thank you and we lift you up today, Lord. You said if you be lifted up, you'll draw all men unto you, O God. So we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, that you are a shepherd that we shall not want. We thank you, Lord, that you are our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? That you are the strength of our life, O God. We thank you that even when our mother and fathers forsook us, Lord, that you took us up. Lord, we thank you that you are our refuge and our strength. You are very present help in the time of trouble. We thank you, God, hallelujah, that you will supply our every need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you for being our Jehovah Jireh, Lord. We thank you for being our Jehovah Shalom, our peace, God. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the peace that compasses all understanding, that keeps our heart and mind, oh God. And, Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, for wisdom, Lord. You said if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that you will give it liberally and upbraideth not. So, Lord, we thank you for wisdom today, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for the joy of the Lord being our strength, God. We thank you, hallelujah, Lord Jesus, that no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper, God. But Lord, that Lord, we won't have to worry about what the enemy's trying to do. But we're casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And we're bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We thank you for the armor of God, hallelujah. We thank you for the sword of the Spirit, oh God. We thank you for Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sin. We thank you for being justified. We thank you for being sanctified, oh God. We thank you for filling us with the Holy Ghost, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, as we continue on this foundational seat, teaching, oh God, that many, Lord Jesus, will be blessed by the word of God. And Lord, that they will hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, and they will be able to raise faith, hallelujah, and they will be able to walk as you would have them to walk, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Each and every one of us, our environment to this week, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for stress-free, worry-free, conflict-free, worry-free days, Father, in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the enemy that will try to come against us. We have the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And, Lord, we're going to initiate, we're going to activate our power. We thank you for the power of God operating in us. We thank you, Lord, for the greater works that we do, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you today. We bless you, Lord Jesus. If anybody is traveling home, Lord, we give blessed praise for traveling mercy upon them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We pray that all is well, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray for healing, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Just a healing that you just like you did with the issue woman with the issue of blood, and she was healed that very instant. We thank you for divine healing today. We thank you for divine restoration today. We thank you, Lord, that you are restoring the years that the palmer worm, the canker worm, the locust, and the caterpillar have eaten up. We thank you that our latter days will be greater than our past, God. We praise you today for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that financial, we are not in lack, we are financial abundance, God. In the name of Jesus, we call it done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, God.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. Bless your holy name today, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you. Oh,
thank
God,
you,
we ask that everybody will go and be blessed. Does anybody else have anything to say? We got about 8 minutes, and then we're going to sign on off for this week, and we will be back next week ready to continue on this conversation about this teaching on sanctification.
Amen. I just want to say Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. So we ask everybody just to be blessed this week. Enjoy your week and enjoy the rest of this holiday season. Be full of joy and remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. We thank God for him. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.